6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Men, if you're ready to reclaim your edge, listen up. I used to be held back by constant bathroom trips, with multiple wake-ups during my sleep and looking for restrooms whenever I was out. Then I discovered Better Man. After just 2 months, I started experiencing fewer trips to the bathroom, less urge to go, and I even slept through some nights. I feel a noticeable boost in my overall well-being, even sexual stamina. It gives me the freedom and confidence to live life on my terms. Better Man is clinically tested and trusted by thousands of men over 25 years. Ready to take back control? Go to BeBetterNow.com to order your supply today. That's BeBetterNow.com.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to the Dear Son Show, where we have meaningful conversations for fathers, those with fathers, and the fatherless.
Look at that.
You like
that? Look at
that. Yeah. I'm one of your hosts, Jay Black.
D. John's your other host.
What's going on, man? What we got?
Everything is lovely.
Yeah.
I'm putting it out there.
Yeah.
This is going to be a lovely day.
It is. It is.
Morning pause. How you feeling?
I'm feeling good, man. I'm tap dancing and grooving at the same time. But we alive, so
yeah.
I don't have any complaints, man. What's your week look like?
Man, week is good, man. I got my family's here. My pops, my moms are here.
Yeah.
My pops and my moms are here. My parents are here. so that's good. They met the great grand for the first time.
Come on.
So that's a thing. That's the thing.
And
for those that don't know, my in-laws moved here probably 3 weeks ago now, maybe a month.
Yep.
So it's going to be more of a throwback holiday weekend.
Yeah.
I know some people feel some kind of way about Thanksgiving and its origin. The origin sucks.
Yeah.
But the time for family is what I focus on.
Absolutely.
So.
Same.
But that's not what we're going on this episode.
No.
What's the word?
No, man. Everything good. We're going to get right to it because I feel like this is a needed conversation, both from a personal standpoint and publicly. But I'm going to ask you this topic and for you to just jump right in on it. Define this phrase.
Oh, God.
Toxicity has no gender.
Oh, that's easy. Everybody crazy.
Everybody.
Everybody got a little bit of crazy. And crazy is probably, especially with the sensitivity to mental health era that we're in. Everybody has a little dysfunction that comes out at inopportune times.
Right.
And kind of displays itself and creates somewhat hostile situations.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe hostile is an overstatement, but it creates discomfort or dis-ease in this immediate environment.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that. I'm looking at, from my personal standpoint, over the last, I don't want to put a definite number on it like I've studied it, but I'm going to say at least over the last 2 years, this new phrase seems to be worn out now about toxic masculinity.
Yeah.
It's almost like a talking point these days. And you have to be careful when you start to label something that's good or bad, because it's either good or it's bad. So if it's toxic, it's toxic. If it's unhealthy, it's unhealthy.
Right.
If it works for you, it does. If it doesn't, it does not.
Right.
So by the time we start to label it or give it a masculine tone or a feminine tone, now we're skating the lines of it's only bad depending on who does it or where it's coming from.
Mm.
So if And let's start, because again, the platform is fathers talking to their sons, but mm-hmm. mainly your children anyway, because this certainly applies to talking to our daughters as well. But from a father talking to a son, let's first start with discussing what a man could possibly be engaging in as far as masculinity. Hmm. I'm trying to shift that because I felt that was going to be going down a different road. How easy is it to say a young man or even a older man that's being overly aggressive?
Mm-hmm.
How easy is that to be perceived as, oh, that's masculinity? It's just a toxic level.
I think that's the quick assumption, is that if there's a tone and there's aggression, that it equates to that.
Why do you think people are so quick to jump and say that's what masculinity looks like? It's just that's a toxic level of it, as opposed to saying, what is your personal definition of masculinity?
You kind of went down the path over. I think it's because it's so loosely defined and accepted
mm-hmm.
that anything that looks like it is called that.
Yeah.
So, and there's enough people agreeing because of its loose interpretation that it fits that definition. And that's kind of how we are. I mean, if it's, you know, there's a reel that I saw Jeremy Anderson
mm-hmm.
post, and he was playing with his son in a pool. Hugging on him, kissing on him, playing on the pool, and then he picks him up and throws him to the other side.
Right, right.
And everybody, and most of the men are like, yo, that's exactly, he said, I love my son, I throw my son.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And there were people that came in and was like, I can't believe that you would do that. That's so traumatizing to, don't know him or the child or what their history is.
Correct.
But that's so traumatizing to the child. We need to, men need to tone down the way that they interact with their sons specifically.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that never crossed my mind. I mean, he's clearly... The boy is happy. There's clearly some history of comfort there in that environment, and that's how they play. He didn't put the child in danger. I don't think he would have thrown his son, like if his son couldn't swim or something right. like that. But it was like roughhousing.
Yes.
And boys need that.
They do.
But that's like the most recent example that comes to mind where, and mainly women were saying it. I don't have the details as to what their reference was to having a father or a man in their life. Or man in their child's life if they were moms,
mm-hmm.
but it left a lot to be desired in terms of conversation as to you want the man to be in their son's life,
yes,
and now the way that man deemed appropriate to be in his son's life without any malice or intent to harm, we got a problem with that.
And let me use that to, I guess, make an example, because there are men that I personally know that will view that opinion from women saying that, like, oh, you're overreacting, that's too rough, you're being too tough on that young man. There are men that would call that toxic femininity.
Mm.
So do you see how that works? It's easy. It's easy to label that and put that tag on that. Like, that's toxic femininity for you to come in and always tell men to tone it down, soften up with these young men, ease up on the young man. Work on his emotions, work on his feelings, work on his mental more so than his physical.
Mm-hmm.
All of those are equally important.
Yeah.
His emotions are important. His mental is absolutely important. His physical is even more so important because mm-hmm. he has to be able to protect himself, protect those that he cares about and loves. So now, because that could be labeled as toxic femininity, why not just say, it's toxic? And then when someone says, why is that toxic in your opinion? Because that's always what matters. In my opinion, it's toxic because, again, you don't have the perspective.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know the background. You don't know my relationship with my son. You don't know what I'm deeming as a parent to be necessary for the type of son that I'm raising and what he's on board with and loves and seeks and yearns for as well. You have no idea the dynamic or the relationship or the love in this household.
Right.
However, there are instances where those same people that hold that opinion about, okay, men should be softer with their sons, And then when they witness it, and sometimes the byproduct of that is not what they would agree with, they're equally frustrated.
Yeah.
So it's, I guess the point in all of this without rambling is, if you feel that you want the man or a man to be actively present in your son's or your child's life,
mm-hmm.
it can't be 100% on your terms, though. You can't dictate or decide what a man in your son's life looks like as long as it's healthy.
Right.
Does this man have your son's best interests at heart? Does he care for, love for, provide for, protect, whatever those things are, your boxes? But you can't then write a manual that says, at 9 a.m., you should hug him.
Right.
At 10 a.m., I need you to coddle him. At 11, rub and you see yeah. what I mean? So
I think that as you were saying that, it kind of, what came to mind was, these are things that should be vetted throughout the relationship.
Yes.
Now, you know, I could jump on my high horse or a soapbox and say, well, you should know these things before you lay down with somebody, before you have a child. Ideally,
right?
You know what I'm saying, and that's pointing to me included, where that wasn't always the case. But you got to be mindful of what you're getting yourself into, whether that's procreating with someone or allowing someone to enter into a situation where you already have a child.
Yes,
like you can't have the blinders on because of the physical pleasures that you know you're experiencing with that person, and now that it comes into a parental type of environment. Now you see the red flags.
Right.
So again, that's not giving men a pass, but that's not giving the women a pass either. That chances are you didn't just look up and find that this person was this way.
Yes. Yes. What do you think about, I have an idea or I'm trying to word it without being offensive, but you know, I'm not trying to be politically correct. I'm not that guy, but just an incorrect way of doing things, I feel like has traditionally been handed down through tradition, if that's not redundant. But like, for instance, like what you just said, ideally, a person should know or hopefully know who they're about to create this life with,
yeah.
marry or whatever the case may be. Without us understanding that over the years we grow, you're either going to grow together or you're going to grow apart. And those are your two options.
Mm-hmm.
And it may even look like a figure eight, a part back together, a part back together.
Right.
Should you choose and decide to stick through those hard times when you feel like you're growing apart, and now something happens, or you're both actively, or at least one person is actively working to bring you guys back together.
Mm.
So now you find yourselves growing back together. So there may be zigzags in the relationship.
Yeah.
Should you choose to stick it out. My concern is, we as a people, which goes back to the toxicity, we as a people adapt beliefs
mm-hmm.
and trends that have been handed to us more so than we spend the time
mm-hmm.
to develop or learn ourselves
mm-hmm.
to where this is what I was told a relationship looks like.
Yep.
But that's not a relationship to me at all, and I want nothing to do with it. As a matter of fact, the relationship model that I've been witnessing and taught my entire life, now that I know myself, is absolutely not what I'm into.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about the tone of traditionally handing, if you will, don't get me wrong, there has to be a foundation,
mm-hmm.
but traditionally handing over a blueprint, if you will, of this is what a relationship looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Are you more concerned with, I want to show you a positive model and you make your own decision, or I really want to mold you to where it's more like exactly what you're seeing?
So I personal experience, I had a great model in reference, two-parent home, me and my sister's 5 years older than me.
Mm-hmm.
By all accounts, stable.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that in a braggadocious way. That's just what my lived experience was.
Yes.
I saw how my dad treated my mom, how he treated us, how he managed the house. I mimicked that, and I've said it before, definitely on other podcasts, but I mimicked what I saw.
Yes.
What I was missing was the context of why he did what he did, or why that model worked for them. because when I married Keisha, her reference was totally different.
Right.
And she would tell you that her model was great also.
Yes.
But they were conflicting.
Yes.
So now who's right?
Yep.
Right. And then it's not a matter of right or wrong. It's a matter of understanding the context of that worked for them because their personalities were this.
Yes.
The times were this. The needs were this. The family dynamic was this. It's not exactly a plug and play when it's your time to get married. So I don't suggest throwing it away, but I think what we missed the opportunity is giving context as the, well, son, you see why I do this.
Right.
You see why I go put your mom's car with gas, or you see why I get it. Whatever the thing is that they see you do.
Yeah.
Because that brings, because she appreciates that. So the message is to find the thing that they appreciate and exploit that.
Yes.
Right. Not necessarily do A, B, C. Now, I think that I particularly came from a role-based house. And my wife didn't.
Right, right, right.
Cut the grass, my mom would never.
Right.
Not that she couldn't, but what?
Yeah.
Like, how?
Yeah.
Keisha's mom would cut the grass. It was more so of a, if you see it, do it kind of thing. And that was really new to me, and it caused some frustration. So again, mimicking what I saw, and then we weren't mature enough to have a conversation about it, aside from just getting quiet and throwing shade, throwing attitude.
Yeah.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And there's that element too of are you independently mature enough to be in a relationship that requires these things, requires you to be a man in this capacity?
Or even willing to grow into, if
that
not,
part.
Or knowing.
Yeah.
Because again, you don't know what you don't know until you don't know it,
mm-hmm.
right? So on that same tone, there's a philosopher, if you will, he's kind of trending in social media right now for a statement that was made that he does not agree with raising children. He feels like he's quoted as saying, you raise cattle.
My dad says that.
Right. So he says that children are given to parents and you are to allow them to be.
My dad didn't say that.
Right.
Yeah.
So allowing to be, by his definition, is, and I hate, I don't know the brother's name to quote him directly, but allowing them to be, he says, was a matter of, you don't know what the possibility of who this child is, shall be, can be, will be. And you trying to raise them or rear them a certain way could possibly deter them from their cause or their purpose because you're embedding something in that child that child truly is not meant to be, which can be viewed as toxic because that goes back to toxicity, not having a gender. Because now we're talking from a parenting standpoint. Do you think there's a such thing as toxic parenting? Context, some parents feel like it's my job to tell you what you're going to go to school for. That's a big topic right now.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to go to college and you can only choose one of these three fields. There are other parents that say, go to college if you want. If you don't want to go to college, do not. Do whatever you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to support whatever your choices are. Do you think, with those two being given as examples, do you think there's a such thing when you're trying to mold your child's future, a such thing as toxic parenting?
Possibly, but I think it has a lot to do with the intent.
Mm-hmm.
If your intent is to guide them, and let me just clear it up. So the whole raising versus, raising children versus cattle, my dad stopped saying raising, started saying rearing. It didn't change his approach.
Right.
It was just the word.
Yeah.
It was just the word. So, we weren't in a allowed to be family. I think there's some dangers in just allowing someone that you love.
Yes.
More specifically, your child, allowing them to coast when you have information that they don't have.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that they can get, the way that you got that information would be dangerous to them at that stage. Like if you had to learn a tough lesson, if you had to learn don't drink and drive because you got drunk and hit somebody. I learned it. I got hit by a drunk driver 3 times, one total my car. So, and not that I fully learned the lesson, but again, like me having that information and it just came to thank you. It's just like me having that information and having children that drive and their curfews are getting extended, me not having a conversation about that in my experience would be reckless. Right. Now me saying you'll never drive because there are dangerous people on the road and I don't want any, I don't want that 1% chance to happen to you, I think that would be bordering
oh,
toxicity.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And you can apply that to whatever else because there's a danger in everything.
Right.
But that's how I would look at it. If your intent is, hey, I have this experience, I have this information, I think it is in your best interest that A, B, C, D.
Yes.
I don't want you to because I don't want you to, without regard for anything else. You know, there's a whole, you know, do as I say, not as I do, or when you're in my house, you follow my rules. I think there's something to that, and that's to be managed household by household. But you got to really check the intent of why you're saying or why you're guiding, rearing in a certain way at a certain point.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Because, and that's the reason I ask is there are healthy debates out for different approaches to the parenting, dating. It seems everything is on the table for discussion, except when you get to talking about a young man or a man not understanding or having his own clear definition of what masculinity is. Mm. And me personally, I'd like that conversation to develop more and to be exposed from not just a regular thinking, everyday person standpoint. Psychologically, I'm a firm believer in counseling. Mm. I would like to see more counselors just offer up the information. Not everything. I get it. That's your profession, and I don't want to devalue that. But there are people out here that don't understand the importance of counseling, mm-hmm. and that would never step into a counseling session. So I feel like there are mistakes being made by those same individuals that could absolutely benefit from a trained counselor mm-hmm. that just drops some little nuggets out publicly. Mm-hmm. And maybe even sometimes they'll never go to a session, but that'll be the 2-3 things that they come across or stumble upon that could really help them in life without them even knowing. It could perhaps entice or lead to them saying, man, I think I do need some counseling, or I'm interested at least mm-hmm. to go sit down and have a conversation.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that taps on the nerve of masculinity when it comes to the less defined understanding of it, because some men think that that's a sign of weakness.
Yes.
To go ask for help.
Yes.
In any capacity, let alone help me think through this. So that, I mean, as part of that conversation, like that has to be debunked, that, you know, asking for help does not make you less of a man, mm-hmm. right? Moving through life recklessly, just to learn lessons. I think that's not the most manly, just not the smart approach anyway, but I cut you off.
No, you're good. Because that taps into my next comment of a man or a woman can be toxic.
Mm-hmm.
A man or a woman can be a narcissist.
Mm-hmm.
Too often, I've seen where people, men and women, they'll equate someone that's a narcissist as being toxic levels mm-hmm. of masculinity. They're not the same thing. They're just not. A person who always thinks they're right, no matter what the conversation is, no matter what the subject matter is, every time you have a discussion with a person, if they enter the conversation knowing that they are the aficionado on the topic, if you will. If they know everything about everything and nothing about nothing.
Mm-hmm.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Tontandia products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
So now, that if you close your eyes, that could be a man or a woman.
let's not just put up the definition.
Please.
I'm trying to get a little, add a little more value to our conversations and not just opinion. Narcissist, dictionary definition, a person who has an excessive interest in or admiration of themselves.
Of themselves. A person.
Mm-hmm.
Not a man. I've yet to hear anybody call, and I'm not attacking women.
That's fine.
I'm only approaching this conversation in this way so that I can perhaps expand the thought process of both men and women, because both men and women have bought into there's a such thing as toxic masculinity,
mm-hmm.
but I've never in my entire life heard a single person ever refer to a woman as having toxic levels of femininity. Never, never, ever.
Hmm.
I've heard, you know, there's other cliches about, oh, cut the umbilical cord, oh, get him off the breast, these things. But never have they ever said, oh, that's toxic femininity, you need to cut it out. Or not very often have I ever heard a woman being called a narcissist.
Yeah.
So it exists.
Mm-hmm.
It happens. I think sometimes it's more accepted because it's, oh, that's what women do.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't agree with that. That's not what women do. There's plenty women out here that are nowhere near being on narcissistic levels, mm-hmm. or operating as a toxic person.
So what do you do when you see those traits developing in your son?
I try to have a conversation about it first, because I don't ever want to just walk up and say, stop, don't do that. Because now it's why, what's the problem? You're just trying to hinder who I am or what I'm doing. So I get more results with my 18-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
When I walk up to him, if I see him doing something that I don't necessarily agree with, I get better results when I walk up and say, hey, just looking on, I just witnessed you move this way. Why did you do that? What does that mean? And I'll let him explain it. And then I'll follow that with, well, this is why I asked.
Yeah.
Me looking on, it looks like this. I could be wrong, but it looks this way. So if that's not your intent, you might want to be a little careful of what that looks like to an onlooker.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a difference between that and living for other people or living for the crowd.
Yeah.
Right. Don't seek approval from the crowd. But also you do want to be a decent human being to where you're absolutely in tune with how you make others feel or even perceive you.
Mm-hmm.
Perception is key. What about you? If you notice like your son headed down a toxic track or, mm-hmm. or a trait, what's your plan of attack for that, if you will?
I try to be a little bit more open about my experience, mm-hmm. and why I'm coming to him. Like I see this, like you said, I see this in you. And it reminds me of me at a certain point.
Yeah.
And I don't want you to have to go through the full cycle of toxicity to learn your lesson when I have the information. I don't want the common trauma for us to celebrate. Like, oh, you did that too? Yeah, son, you was probably going to do that.
Now,
I think it's important to have conversations about what your children may be prone to. We're talking about sons, but I mean, there's a reality to things being passed down genetically, but also behavior is mimicked. So there are things that I used to do early as a parent that I didn't realize that were probably toxic, just even if it was just my tone on my face.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it. But then when you start to see your children, like your children will tell you who you are.
Ooh, really?
They will tell you exactly who you are, no matter what you think you are.
Yeah.
Because a lot of what they'll do will reflect at least one of y'all.
Yes. I'm glad you said that you are the universe moving today.
In there.
There's a such thing as the conversation of dad, and I'm strictly talking about dad to son here, because this more often than not, there's a toxic trait being handed down from father to son when it comes to discussing the ins and outs, if you will, pun intended, of intercourse.
Sure.
So now
if the conversation happens,
if it even takes place,
which is another, we're going to get to that topic.
So
on a different show,
think about what you're actively and passively handing down to your son. Little hints and clues that you may be alluding to without saying it. So now your son is kind of picking up on a tone of expectancy.
What you laugh at.
What you laugh what at, you joke about, what you drop on him, what you're saying without saying to where he feel like if he's not, let's say you make a joke in that realm,
mm-hmm.
but he can't really relate
mm-hmm.
out of fear of looking a certain way to your dad. You feel like, oh, I got to go out and I got to go get me some action going on
mm-hmm.
so that now when dad and my uncles make these jokes or say these
he
things.
Ain't getting on.
Oh, this, look at this boy here, way behind he is. Mm-hmm. He not doing. Now he feels pressured to now perhaps go jump in something he's not even ready for.
And now you a granddaddy.
You a granddad. Because you haven't had a conversation with him. He don't know what he's doing. He walking around with a loaded pistol. So what do you do
literally
now?
that is probably the most slept on, underrated, toxic, transfer toxicity. And you jump right on that.
Man.
Right on that one. Because you think about when I say what you nod to, like the music, because I realize that there's music that I stayed away from, period,
yeah.
Whether I wanted to listen to it or not, around my children.
Yeah, yeah.
Then that doesn't mean it was right for me to listen to it, but I know for a fact that it's going to corrupt their thinking.
Absolutely.
Because they can't relate or they can't process it where they are.
Yeah.
But then more recently when I'm picking them up, man, we just listen to this.
Yeah.
It happened the other day. We were listening to some instrumentals and then a Mobb Deep song came on. A Mobb Deep instrumental came on and I started rapping.
Because y'all don't know what this goes with, but I got you. I won't let you down.
Well, I forgot which one was.
You got me. I don't know a single Mobb Deep song.
Okay, yeah.
Not one.
I think it was, I can't remember. But like, what's in you, programmed in you, will come out 30 years later, 25 years later. And I'm rapping and I know it well enough to mute and edit. But then I'm like, even not saying that word, the rest of the words give context to it. And I said, we used to listen to this and be just like this in the car. I just had to admit it to him, like it, talking about all the stuff that we really not doing, but it puts all these thoughts in your head. And this is what they're saying.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, it's not much different today. I was like, and we can think that their generation is more dangerous or more loose, but it's you have to consider the context of the time that you're in.
Please.
What information you have access to. How do you access information? So I don't know that it's any worse. Like we say, our generation was selling the drugs, your generation taking the drugs. Which is better?
You're both part of the
Both are destroying the community.
Yeah.
Community, but like that was what I was just like, and that song, it wasn't necessarily about sex, but well, I'm sure if I got to verse two, it probably would have got to that. But it was just about, am I giving him approval or acceptance by sitting here nodding my head and making light of it and not actually having a real conversation about the dangers of what we're looking at or watching.
Yes, because it's not about, I don't want to act like I'm an angel that he can't measure up to.
Right.
Like I have my flaws and faults.
Yep.
But the key thing you said that I totally agree with is that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, you see this, but let's talk about that. Let me show you where my understanding or viewpoint is with it. It's entertainment. And there are things being said that perhaps I don't even agree with. Maybe have never done in my entire life, but because it has a certain beat with it and a tone and a rhythm to it, I'm entertained by it. And you may catch me being entertained by it, but now I need you to understand where I stand on these topics, though. My wife and I laugh and joke all the time about the unawareness of being children singing songs about adultery.
Mm-hmm.
As we slept the night away,
mm-hmm.
and there's countless others, blues songs, you name it, all of them.
I used to celebrate them. I was like, man, thank God my kids love 90s music. Like, a bunch of cheating and sex and threesomes and just, but it sound melodic.
Yeah, I'm a Johnny Taylor fan to this day. You know, that boy went through it. But so think about that as the holidays approach, because there's a ton of exposure. You got Thanksgiving, you got Christmas, You're going to be around your dad, your uncles, mm-hmm. brothers, male cousins. Male cousins, please, please understand. If you're 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, and you're a cousin, and they could be 13, 16, 18, 23, 25, 30, they still listen to everything coming out of your mouth.
Yeah.
You're like a big brother. You're an extended uncle or brother. Either way,
mm-hmm.
this impressionable young male is listening to what's coming out of your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So he's watching everything you got going on. So be mindful of the influence. Have the conversation. Maybe the dad hadn't, for whatever reason, caught that conversation with him. You catch him.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, hey, look, cuz, come here. Let me tell you something. I did this at your age. I see you.
Yeah.
He gonna listen to you because y'all on a different level of laugh, joke, play with each other. So he'll receive it differently.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe receive it jokingly, but he's still gonna receive it.
Right.
Hey man, I did what you did, and at that time it turned out like this for me. If you're not trying to do what I did and look the way I look or have going on,
yep.
it's a different path. So just trying to break all of the cycles of being toxic.
Yeah.
Not just talking about what is perceived as toxic masculinity. It's toxic regardless of who it comes from.
Yeah.
You have aunties saying the same thing.
Or living a certain way.
You cute boy, why you don't have 2-3 girlfriends? Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, auntie.
It's a very real thing.
All talking to the nieces.
Yeah.
Girl, you got the body I used to have. You know you're supposed to have this, and this by now.
Yeah.
If you look that way.
Yeah.
Toxic is toxic.
Yeah. And one thing that's becoming clear in this conversation, toxicity isn't necessarily loud.
Right. Right.
Isn't necessarily loud.
Right.
Because these are not necessarily, I mean, they can be the drunk uncle or drunk aunt getting loud about it. Boy, why you, girl, why you ain't? But the reality is the behaviors that we accept through demonstration or by not addressing it when it's obvious.
Yes.
Has a lot to do with toxicity.
Yes.
Has a lot to do with toxicity.
I'll tell you another one that I guarantee a lot of elderly family members don't know is perceived as toxic. Holiday time again. The younger generation come through the door. He or she, 25 years old, carving their way through life, doing well for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Every year after year, you busting this youngster across the head talking about, you ever gonna have kids? What's wrong with you? You don't know what that person dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's something biologically
right.
affecting them not being able to have children.
Right.
And they haven't shared it with you because they're not obligated to. And now you're jugging at them every holiday. Now the holidays could become something dark for them. I want to see my family, but
mm-hmm.
because now
I gotta deal with
all of these questions or a particular lifestyle they may be partaking in that is not received or accepted by the family.
Mm-hmm.
So now they know every holiday I'm not going to shun my family, but I do feel like I'm going to show up. And now I have to defend or ignore or look the other way of comments or sayings or slogans or whatever that really make me feel like I don't want to be here. So be mindful of that. Good self-righteous aunts, uncles, grandparents, everybody. I don't have those issues, but that does not mean they don't exist.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you feel like is the most overlooked? And I know that's broad. I know that's pretty broad. But when it comes to young men understanding the difference between being a healthy masculine man or you, and let me say it like this too. Just because somebody likes it or enjoys it doesn't mean it's not toxic. There are people that are in relationships and you've both kind of been drawn to the toxicity like a magnet almost.
Mm.
You're choking each other and you're saying certain things to each other. Y'all break up every 3 days and get back together. And if it's not like this, you don't want it. You see what I'm saying?
This is our love.
Yeah, that's toxic.
Mm-hmm.
That's from both standpoints. Like you're actively participating in it. So now what is the big difference or the most overlooked part of helping young men understand the difference between being a healthy masculine man versus you're walking around being toxic and being narcissistic because someone has fooled you into thinking that's manhood.
I think it's the willingness and the ability to actually have these conversations. Because it's gone so long with from the approach of I figured it out, you figured it out.
Yeah.
I got through it, you'll get through it. And again, I said it before, it's like we wait to these common traumas to celebrate the fact that we have common traumas where you could have stopped this from happening if you shared some information with this young person.
Right.
And I think some of that has to do with men being embarrassed by their past. So you've done some things, you've learned some hard lessons, but you are too embarrassed to actually talk about it.
Yeah.
Because you think that for whatever reason, this is unique to you. And if we could be more honest with ourselves about what we would have done differently if we had different information, maybe we would give different information.
Man, that's priceless. That's priceless. Because think about that. How many times as parents that you notice your kid go through something and then you say to yourself, you may still not admit to the child or the kid or the whoever that, man, I did that exact same thing, son. I promise you. As a matter of fact, I doubled down and I did it this way. At least you had the common sense to scale it down and do it this way, but you still did it.
Yeah.
So perhaps I missed the conversation.
I try to be real honest with my kids about stuff like that. Like, hey, I've gotten in all the trouble that you need to get into. If you can find some new trouble, more power to
more
you.
Power.
But I'm staying at so-and-so's house. Like we ran that.
To death.
We ran that.
Yeah.
And my kids were so late and wanting to like actually drive.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're so limited now because you can't even move freely. Now you expect me to count to trust somebody the way somebody else is moving that I don't know, and you're gonna be out running around. Like they I think they missed. I think COVID did a lot of it.
Yeah.
Because they had to be, you know, segregated. But I'm like, man, like I've tried, succeeded in a lot of it.
Yeah.
Failed in a lot of it. So let's just have a conversation.
Yeah, please.
Cause you like and I didn't have this conversation with my parents.
Nope.
Like I started learning things about my dad through this podcast. Like,
yeah.
For real?
Man.
Man, that'd have been valuable at 22.
Right.
But yeah, just being I keep reiterating it, just like being honest. Be honest with you, realize that because you had some failures doesn't mean you failed at life or your life is a failure. It doesn't have any value.
Right.
There's a lot more value in the lessons from failures of others that could save a generation.
Yes.
So.
Yes. I told you corporations are hiring C students over A students these days.
I sent you that book. Remember, I found it and I sent it. Why A students work for C students.
Listen, pay attention to that. There's a message you wouldn't believe in that. Pay attention. Mm. Pay attention. So I feel like we did a good.
Yeah.
Good job of touching all of the highlights and the points. You got anything you want to share before we close this episode out?
Man, I don't know when this is. I mean, this is going to air after. It'll air during the holidays, but use this time wisely. Use it to celebrate, but use it to, like you said, have some of those conversations where maybe you're not in the presence of those individuals as much as you would. And this is family in general. But like catch your nephews, your young cousins or what have you, and start creating that relationship that gives you some cachet to check in with them more than just when they show up for the holidays.
Man.
Because they're trusting somebody with the information. And if it's not somebody that has their best interest, you know, where that's going to go. So use this time to not only laugh and joke, but, you know, start creating some confidence and some trust. And these young men that, you know, where they know they can. I got a call from one of my big brothers from back in the day yesterday.
Yeah.
Just hit me out of the blue. He was like, hey, man, I see you. I see what y'all doing on the podcast. I wanted to hear your voice. And it didn't matter that I hadn't talked to him in a couple of years because we had the history, right?
Yep.
I had the trust and I knew how he had advised me before, how he had cared before. So it's important to have those people in your life.
It is. It is. Forgot to hit it at the top because I'm the driver today. Like, share, subscribe.
Like, share, subscribe.
It means a lot. It really does. But that's really a gem because, believe it or not, man, I'm happy about it. It's kind of a good thing, bad thing. I hear more and more people saying that they would like to start having family reunions.
Mm-hmm.
What better time to come up with a plan during the holidays? Yep. Not a funeral, because at the funeral, everybody's emotional and everybody's going to agree to it.
Yep.
Right now, holiday time, when you're making those phone calls, and if you need to move it and find a neutral place, do that. If everybody's like, yeah, we all from Florida, but now we all, 90% of the family live in Texas now. Well, if that's the case,
it's in Texas.
It might need to happen in Texas. You know, you have to be mindful and open to the elderly as well. So if y'all are mobile and the elderly or not,
right,
go to the elderly. But we thank you for your time. We thank you for the support. Support Love Keisha J Studios. Support the Dear Son Network, the Dear Son Podcast. Flexion Chiropractic is doing well. We're had a great year. Looking forward to a better year next year. School's going great. Just trying to update the followers that's like, hey, we've been here since day one. I hadn't heard about this. Everything's good. We strong, we happy, we healthy. So
I like that.
Yeah. So with that being said, please stay tuned and continue to support. Peace.
Appreciate you guys. God bless you. Peace.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Tantanja products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Finish your outdoor wood projects with Cabot Premium Wood Care Products. Australian Timber Oil is an exterior stain that provides maximum penetration, durability, and water repellency, making it ideal for decks, siding, outdoor furniture, and more. Save big money at Menards on Cabot Premium Wood Care Products. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening this week.
Save big money.